Acts chapter 24, please. Acts 24. Well, it's good to see you this morning. And as a pastor, it's always encouraging to see you here today. And I just want you all to know that I do pray for you all. I've got a membership list in my office, and I just kind of go down through the list. And there may be days when you think that, well, is anybody praying and things? And I do. I mean, I pray for all of you all. And I want you to pray for me, and, you know, we just need the Lord's help, and I just appreciate you so much. Today in Acts 24, we're going to continue in the life of the Apostle Paul. And today what I'm going to talk about is a missed opportunity. In Acts 24 and verse 22 is where I want to begin reading from the Scripture. Now, some Scriptures are very theological, okay? If you read the book of Hebrews, that is a deep, deep theological book. There's a lot of theology in that book. However, other sections of Scripture are mainly historical. Now, there is theological truth in a historical event, but these Scriptures that we've been looking at from the Apostle Paul pretty much are historical events that happen in the life of Paul. And the first half of the book of Acts, Peter, was pretty much the main character. From probably the middle of the book of Acts on, then the Apostle Paul becomes the main character. So this is what we're going to look at today. Now, we've seen the trial before Agrippa. That was what we talked about last week. And so we're backtracking now, and we're going to talk today about the trial before the governor Felix. There are three main events in this Scripture today that I want to talk about. And first, we'll read the Scripture. Let's listen to it from verse 22. But when Felix heard these things, having more accurate knowledge of the way, in other words, he understood what Christians were all about. Christians in that day were called people of the way. Jesus said, I'm the way. And so they followed Jesus. Jesus said, there's no other way but me. So they became known as the people of the way. He adjourned the proceedings and said, when Lysias, the commander, comes down, I will make a decision on your case. So this is a trial before Governor Felix. So he commanded the centurion to keep Paul and to let him have liberty and told him not to forbid any of his friends to provide for or visit him. After some days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who is a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. Now, the faith is something that is very objective. The faith is not like faith. The faith in Christ is the gospel. It is the faith in Christ, the death, the burial, resurrection. So he's sharing the faith. Okay? Verse 25. Now, as he reasoned about righteousness, here's the outline for his message to Felix. Righteousness, self-control, and thirdly, judgment to come. Felix was afraid and answered, go away for now. When I have a convenient time, I will call for you. Meanwhile, he also hoped that money would be given him by Paul, in other words, a bribe, that he might release him. Therefore, he sent for him more often and conversed with him. But after 2 years, Porcius Festus succeeded Felix. And Felix, wanting to do the Jews a favor, left Paul bound. Felix is a story of a missed opportunity. Felix is a story of a man who had the opportunity to believe in Christ and to trust Him, and yet he said no to this opportunity. He illustrates what it is to be right at the door of salvation and say no to Jesus Christ. He said, when I have a more convenient season, when things get in line for me, maybe on a better day, I will call for you and we can talk about this a little bit more. What we know from the Bible and what we know from history is this: that convenient day never came. You see, friends, I want you to listen to this. One day is never. Someday is never. And so what he did here was to postpone an opportunity that was set before him to become a believer in Jesus Christ. Felix was the governor of Judea. He was the governor of Judea. That was the land where Jesus lived and ministered. He was the governor of Judea for about 8 years, from 52 to 59 A.D. is when he was in that position. What we know about Felix was this: he was a very bad man. Just like here, when he wanted a bribe from the Apostle Paul, even after, you know, this trial, that's what he was all about. He was about himself. He was about how he could get ahead in life. We know this from history, not the Bible, but here's what we know from history is the reason he got this job as the governor of Judea is because his brother was big buddies with Caesar Augustus in Rome. And so because of that, then, you know, he got this job as being governor. Paul's trial and Paul's imprisonment took place in three locations: in Jerusalem, in Caesarea — that's where they are now, in Caesarea — and then eventually in Rome. In 62 A.D., Paul finally made it to Rome. He had been in Jerusalem for about 8 days, and what this commander of the soldiers had to do, you see his name mentioned here, Claudius Lysias. He was the commander of the soldiers who were stationed at Fort Antonio in the city of Jerusalem. Remember, Jerusalem was under Roman rule at this time. And so what Rome had done, had built this fort there, Fort Antonio. This guy here who's mentioned, Lysias, was the top commander of the soldiers. And if you remember, what happened was, before they could get Paul out of Jerusalem to take him to Caesarea for this trial, there was a plot against the Apostle Paul, and these Jewish leaders had paid people to assassinate him. His nephew heard about this plot. He goes to Lysias, the commander, and says, look, here's what's going to happen. So Lysias took the Apostle Paul from Jerusalem to Caesarea, and now he's standing before the governor Felix in Caesarea. So they get this trial going. Now here's what you need to understand in this story. There are different ways to look at this story. You can see it from the Apostle Paul's point of view. You can look at it from what's going on with Felix, and we'll talk about that. But there's another way that you look at this story, and that is God in this story. How do you see God in this story? You see God in the story by the providence of God. God is at work, folks. When you may not realize it, you may not understand it, God is at work in His providence. And right here in this story, God's providence is at work in the life of the Apostle Paul. Now, I want to talk about three things. First of all, what I want to talk about here is the prosecution. In Acts 24, here's what you find: what the Jewish leaders did and what the high priest did. They traveled 60 miles from Jerusalem to Caesarea. And so it took them a couple of days to get down to Caesarea. And when they got there, they brought their high-paid lawyer with them. In Acts 24, we find that his name was Tertullus. What he did was to speak all this oratory, and he spoke in proper words, and he really was laying it on to the governor, Felix. Now remember, Felix was, you know, he was going to make a judgment in this trial. And so he just poured it on, you know, and everything. And so they made these accusations against Paul. Here's the accusations. They made three accusations. Number one was that he was a rebel against Rome, which was not true. The second accusation they made was that Paul was a heretic against the Jewish religion, which was false. The third accusation that they made against the Apostle Paul was that he had blasphemed against God. That was the accusations. So they laid it out there in the courtroom, and they made all these accusations against him, and every one of these accusations were false. In Acts chapter 23, what this guy, this commander, Lysias, had done, he wrote a letter to send with Paul to tell Felix this. He said, listen, this is not a civil matter. This man has not done anything wrong. He's not broken anything, any law of Rome. He's not tried to stir up a riot. This is a Jewish theological matter. So it never should have went to court to begin with. But it did. Felix wanted to please, you know, the Jews. He wanted to please the leaders, the Jewish leaders. And so he said, okay, I'll hear this case. They made all these accusations. Every one of them was false. What was Paul's defense? Let's talk about that. You know what Paul's defense was? Here's what he said. If you look back in the chapter here, and I really like this, but if you look back in the chapter that we're looking at here, 24, listen to some of Paul's defense. Listen to verse 14. But this I confess to you, talking to the governor Felix, according to the way, according to what Christians believe, what the way Christians live, I worship the God of my fathers. What did Paul think about the Old Testament? What did he think about the inspiration of the Bible, the authority of the Bible? Listen to what he says. Believing all things which were written in the law and the prophets, he believed the Old Testament was inspired of God. I have hope in God, which they themselves also accept. Now this is his defense. That there will be a resurrecting of the dead. He believed in that. He said in verse 16, I myself always strive to have a conscience without offense toward God and man. So what was his defense? Here's his defense. I stand before you today with a clear conscience. That's where we all need to be. To say, I stand before God and I stand before man with a clear conscience. When Jesus sent out his disciples, you know what he said? He said, I'm going to send you out there into the world that's going to be hostile toward you. He said, when you go out there, he said, your trouble is going to be with some people. Because here's what they're going to do. He said, they're going to make false accusations against you for my sake. He said, be ready for it because it's coming. Folks, I want you to listen to me very carefully here. In the world that we live in today, that is hostile toward the gospel, and hostile toward Christianity, I'm just going to tell you, false accusations will come your way. If you live a holy life, if you live a right life, if you live a right life for God, false accusations will come from the world. But who is behind that? It is Satan himself. Amen. And that's what Jesus said when he sent these disciples out. That's where Paul is here. I want you to see this. Listen to me. God is with the Apostle Paul in that courtroom. All these things said about Paul that wasn't true. Who was standing with Paul in that courtroom? God was. Paul said this. He said, I know one day there will be a judgment to come when all this is said. Paul said that. But he says, I stand before you with clear conscience. So when false accusations are made against you, I would encourage you to do exactly what Paul did. Stand with a clear conscience before God and man. And that's all we can do. Now, what was the verdict? They really didn't have any true witnesses against Paul in the courtroom. All these things that they said about Paul were not true. They wanted them to be true. And in verse 6 of 24, these leaders and this lawyer, you know, they're saying here, he even tried. He tried to profane the temple. Now, why did they say that? Because, you know, that's something you just throw out there to see if it sticks. He tried to do this. Well, you know, how do you prove or disprove that? So the only verdict that Felix could make was this. This man is innocent. What you see in this story loud and clear is the innocence of the Apostle Paul. That was the only verdict. And so here's what the governor said. You know, his verdict really was no verdict. What he said is, Claudius Lysias, this commander at Fort Antonio in Jerusalem, I'll get him up here one day, and then Paul, what we'll do is decide your case. There's no record that ever happened. There's no record in the Bible or in history that he came. There's no record that Felix ever made a verdict on this. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us here in the Scripture that in verse 27, 2 years later after this trial, then Felix was removed and another governor was put in his place by the name of Pontius Festus. So he postponed this decision on the Apostle Paul. Now let's talk about Felix. What is the missed opportunity? Here's a man that had the Apostle Paul in custody for 2 years. Here's a man that heard the gospel. He knew the gospel. He knew what Paul was about. He heard the witness. He had the opportunity. And he said this, when I have a more convenient time, I will call for you. There are some people who just put off being saved. Now, I don't understand that, but they do. They say, one day I'm going to get saved. One day I'll trust Christ. One day I'll make a change. One day I'll do whatever. I'll get serious about this thing about Jesus. You see, tomorrow, that day will never come if you keep doing that. And the reason why, here's what the Bible says. In the book of Hebrews, in the book of Corinthians, the Bible says what happens is the more that a person says no to Christ and no to the gospel, then your heart gets harder and harder and harder. Another reason is this, found in the book of Genesis. You remember when Noah built the ark? And Noah preached for all those years, and the door of the ark was open for whoever to come in. You know what God said? He said this. He said, my spirit will not always strive with man. There come a day when the door of that ark was closed. The day of opportunity was gone. We don't know the day or time or hour when we'll leave this life. We don't know when that's going to happen. But here's what we know. The Bible says today is a day of opportunity. If you hear His voice, then open your life to Him. If He's knocking at your heart's door and this is a decision that you've been wanting to make, make that decision today for Jesus Christ. I'm going to close with this story. This is an old story. been around for a long time. And I can't remember the preacher's name that came up with this story, but it's a fable is what it is. But you can see how this might could have taken place. The fable goes this way. Satan got four of his leading demons together, and they were having this highfalutin meeting in hell. And so at this meeting, what they were talking about was how they could keep people from being saved, trusting Jesus as Savior, and taking advantage of their day of opportunity. The first demon said, well, we can do this. We can go out and we can tell people, well, there's not really a God. Satan thought about that and he said, well, that's a pretty good idea. Second demon spoke up and said, well, let's think about this. What if I go out and I tell everybody there's no such thing as hell? So he said, well, that's a pretty good idea. Third demon said, well, what I'll do, I'll go out and I'll tell everybody there's no such thing as heaven. You really don't have to believe in Jesus to go to heaven. Fourth demon spoke up and said this, well, what I'll do is to go out and tell everybody that you don't have to make that decision today. In other words, he was going to say, wait until tomorrow. And that day will never come. Today is a great opportunity for you to trust Jesus Christ as Savior. If that's where you are today, please come. Don't do like Felix. Don't say, I'm going to put it off. When I have a more convenient time, I'm telling you today, that day will never come. Today is the best day to trust Jesus as your Savior. Today is that opportunity. Would you come today and say yes? Let's stand for our prayer. Lord, we thank you today for your word. Father, we just thank you that from your word that we find so much encouragement. We see your hand in this story today. We certainly see the providence of God working in the life of Apostle Paul during this trial. Father, when we think about Felix, though, we think about how sad of a story this is. This is a story of a missed opportunity. This is a story of postponing a decision that should have been made, but it never was. Felix understood what it was to be a Christian. He understood the gospel. He knew what this trial was all about. He knew that it was a theological issue, not a civil matter. He knew all about that. And still, he missed this great opportunity. Father, I pray for that one here today who needs to be saved. I pray that they would not miss this opportunity. Help them not to put off this decision, to postpone this greatest decision in their life, to be saved, to trust Christ as Savior. I pray that they would do what they need to do today to come to you. In your name we pray. Amen. Let's sing together.